Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. It is Thursday morning. Right now, it's not raining. However, there's an emergency meeting at 5 p.m. by the UAE to tell us probably that there's a lot of rain incoming. So do not wash your car. We spoke about the price of onions and we had the Thrift for Good founder Jennifer Salt talking all about why thrifting should be how you shop.
And so if you are not subscribed to the Love in Dubai show podcast, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to enjoy the show as always.
Again, I'll have no one to blame but myself.
I mean, yeah, you're right. But you know, like there's like this like issue. I just like, I'm not used to Dubai being like, I am used to. It happens every year.
It happens every year.
I don't know who am I fooling. Maybe I'm just like fooling myself at this point, but maybe I should listen to Casey. Maybe it's just like my 25-year-old self thinking like, hey, I cannot miss my plans.
Yeah, I think we'll have a better idea of what's coming up for 5 p.m. So do stay tuned.
For sure.
Next up, the price of onions. Yes, that's what we were talking about today. Are you aware of the price of onions when you do your supermarket shopping? So in the good days, residents could purchase onions, for example, for 1 or 2 dirham per kg. But at the moment, you might be surprised to find the prices for onions are over 5 dirham per kg. However, the hike in price of onions might be coming to an end very soon.
Now, India is the largest exporter of onions in the UAE. And in December 2023, India placed an export ban on onions, now leading to a price hike in onions in the UAE. But it's not all bad news. The ban is set to end soon on March 31st, meaning prices could be seeing a decrease very soon.
Thank you to Annika for reporting on this story and bringing the good news to us at the end of this journey. So the ban on onions exports have impacted the UAE market. However, it is coming now to focus with residents increasingly concerned about the price of onions coming up to the holy month of Ramadan when everyone is stocking up. But on March 4th, India allowed an export of 64,400 tons of onions to the UAE to help cater to increased demand. The export was exclusively done, by the way, to India's friendly nations. So thankfully, we're friends with India and we got to reap the rewards of this exclusive export.
Of course, so we can look forward to a dip in the price of onions real soon. Now, let me tell you something. Onions are very essential for every meal. My mom all the time says, like, Farah, onions make the meal that I'm cooking just like, I would say, taste better.
Oh, absolutely. Onions or garlic, though? What do you think?
No, garlic. I'm a garlic person more than an onion person. But either way, like, I do agree that onions are actually very essential in a meal. Specifically, like, when you're trying to, like, cook, Middle Eastern dishes, you know? Like, oh, my God. And now that Ramadan is coming, I can never, ever, ever imagine my mom not cooking proper, authentic Syrian food. And onions are a must. Even though I don't like eating them, but I like tasting them. Does that make sense? I like the taste of them.
Yeah,
but I don't like eating them because like they're like very crunchy, like rich, you know.
You mean?
I don't like the crunch of the onion.
Yeah, but in cooking.
Yeah.
So when it's used as the base of like a curry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the smell of cooking, like onions and garlic.
I mean, I think Casey, we have an issue here because like
we go hungry. To food.
We all the time talk about food. You wanted burgers, and now you're craving as well for like food. Maybe I should get you like some Syrian authentic food on Ramadan. Whatever my mom cooks, so you can like
for the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
If there's some home cooking to be done, I'd like to be part of it.
Well, I will be for sure. I'd be getting them. And it's Ramadan, right? It's the month of giving.
Interesting. On the onions, have you noticed it? It actually, we posted it yesterday, so we got an interesting response from you guys. So thank you as always for sharing your comments. One restaurant owner was like, finally, I finally appreciate the people who don't like onions because they're getting so expensive. So yeah, because you always have those people who are like, don't like onions. And then how as a restauranteur do you deal with that?
Yeah, I used to not like onions. I used to like remove them. Eating them, but I like tasting them.
Mm.
There's like a difference, you know? Yeah, I think it's just like maybe I'm a weird person. Maybe it's the weird thing.
We all have our quirks.
Yeah.
What is the weirdest quirk? If it wasn't 9:12 and we didn't go live half an hour late today, I would go into weird quirks. But if you're watching the show and you have a strange quirk that you'd like us to know about that we could talk about tomorrow, we're here for it. Let's jump into our next story. This is big on the visa front. It was announced yesterday as breaking news.
Now, Dubai introduces a five-day visa work bundle. The Dubai government has introduced the work bundle digital platform to reduce the processing duration for issuing work permits to private sector employees. Now, it started from 30 days to just 5, announced by the Dubai General Directorate of Residency and Foreigners Affairs. Now, this initiative is set to streamline the process by reducing the necessary documentation from 16 to 5 and minimizing the visits required to service centers from 7 to just 2.
If you are an employer, this is music to your ears. Like, those office visits for visas for employees, I can imagine, are just such a pain. And the fact that they've gotten a couple of government entities together to make this easier, to make it swifter, to make it smoother is amazing for employers. So this initiative is in line with the zero bureaucracy approach, which aims to streamline government processes and offer efficient services. Hussaina Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashla Maktoum, Vice President and Prime Minister of the UAE and ruler of Dubai, emphasized that the project will eliminate bureaucracy, streamline procedures, revamp processes, and reduce their duration within the federal government. You know, you have a bugbear with process, whether it's at work or something to do with like getting set up, especially in the UAE as expats, and they never usually get fixed. Like whatever your country you're in, you know, it would be known for, oh, this takes ages, or, you know, just get in line at the post office because nothing's going to be done, or you can't do it digitally, it's always got to be done in person. Every now and then you see little announcements like this, not that it's little. I just saw a really funny comment coming through. Someone's looking for a boyfriend. back to the news. Every now and then, little announcements like this make lives easier, make it smoother for business owners. Essentially, they'll employ less people in terms of the admin side. They can put more into their business and more swift, easy. So I'm sure there's a lot of HR, what's the PRO people across the country who are loving this news.
I mean, I'm loving it as well, honestly. This is just amazing. And I mean, shout out to Dubai for just like making everyone's life easier at this point. It's just like, I mean, I wish the news came out like when I first got employed here, it would have been way easier for me. But shout out to everyone who is going to be getting employed and to the employers as well.
So we're going to jump in. It's 9:15 and we are super excited to have the founder of Thrift for Good. It's Jennifer Saul. She's championing eco-conscious shopping. And we're going to learn a little bit more how we can do better as humans from a very inspirational human. She's going to be with us after this very short break. Please stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to the Love and Dubai Show. Today we're joined by Jennifer Salt, the founder of Thrift for Good. Combining her passion for the environment along with fundraising for incredible projects, join us as we delve deeper into her inspiring story. Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to have you. Sorry we're late, but we really appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Not at all.
Well, thank you for being here, as Casey has said. So my first question for you is that you are giving. You give people. So where, if you can tell us about your background and where did the idea of giving came from?
Yeah, so I started when I was a child fundraising to build a daycare in the Philippines. And that just stuck with me. I was lucky to volunteer overseas. And really, I feel really lucky because it's my passion, my purpose to fundraise for kids overseas. And I've been able to make a career out of it as well. So Thrift for Good is what we're doing, and I'm lucky to not do it alone. We've got a great community of people, and it's charitable thrift stores here in the UAE. So we give back by helping the environment, circular economy for clothing, selling pre-loved clothes, and we donate 100% of our profits to help children's charity projects around the world through our partner charity, Gulf for Good. So yeah.
It's amazing. And I'm sure residents who've been living in the UAE for any amount of time will know the name Thrift for Good. So we're definitely going to delve deeper into what you guys do. But just to step back a little bit, you said you started as a child and then you raised money for an orphanage in the Philippines.
Yeah, so yeah.
How did that happen?
So I was lucky to have a great group of friends in high school and a family member who was also fundraising for kids in the Philippines. I had some friends in high school who were from the Philippines and they would tell me about their families. So we joined forces and we just started school fundraisers. This was over 20 years ago. It was a long time ago. But I'm so glad that that sparked a passion in me and just kept going for life. So yeah.
Because it's amazing. We have, every now and then we'll speak to kids in the UAE doing amazing things. So yeah. Where do you think your passion, where did it spark? Where were you like, this could really impact people, so I want to help? Do you remember a moment or where did that come from?
So that's a great question. I think as a child, I just felt very moved by what was happening for people around the world, and I wanted to do something. And, you know, as a kid, maybe it was that spark of inspiration and wanting to do something and then starting it off and knowing how good it feels to help and learning the stories of who we're helping. It just, I think a small spark at that age can lead into something so much bigger. It's easier to be influenced when you're a kid to do good, I think, if you have the right motivations, incentives, and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. But I have a question. Is that, of course, you know, we grow up.
Yeah.
And as we grow, our passions do change over time. Mm-hmm. Like, what I wanted to be when I was, younger at 5 years old is not what I wanted to be when I was, 12, 13, or in my teenage years. So would you say, how did you manage to have this passion stay within you and actually implement it and I would say create such a platform?
That's a very good question. Yes. So I did, I also went through my, knew that I wanted to spend my life helping kids and I saw it was possible and I loved it. But, I had no idea how to do that. Okay. So I actually studied microbiology. I don't use microbiology anymore. And, my path did this. But ultimately, I landed in fundraising because that's what I found was the way that I can most easily give back and support people on the ground who know the local context and who can really lift up the kids in the most appropriate way. So, and being in Dubai is great for fundraising. So I feel that's how I can help the most with my community of support here in Dubai. There was a little bit of this with one central target. Yes. So I feel lucky to have had that passion from a young age and have been able to make a career out of it and to be able to do something with my life to give back.
You mentioned Dubai is a great place for fundraising. How was it? Let's go back to the start of Thrift for Good.
Yeah.
And we are very compassionate people, but actually maybe the methods to give back they're not everywhere. They're not in your face. So was it easy to create what you've done or were there obstacles along the way?
Oh, of course. There's always obstacles in everything, right? We're very lucky to be able to do what we do from a legal standpoint here in the UAE. But I know it can be challenging for charitable organizations to figure that out, to navigate it, to get it set up. But we're so lucky to have the UAE government's support. I used to work with Gulf for Good, which is the charitable organization we're doing this with. Mm-hmm. And this is where Thrift for Good was born. Essentially, we're receiving phone calls of people wanting to donate their clothes, and we started selling it at markets to raise extra money for the kids. But I'd say the challenge is, like any new business, it's building an infrastructure. There's such a demand here for secondhand, and there's so many clothes to be processed. So it was building a whole system. How can we make a zero-waste process for these clothes? How can we get the community together, get volunteers and organize in that way. We're 3 years young, 3 years strong, and it's growing really fast. There's always obstacles, but we're happy to overcome them as they arrive. So, yeah.
So, of course, thrifting as well plays a huge role to the environment.
Yes.
So not many people are aware of that. How would you say you have raised awareness towards thrifting for good, whether it's for humanitarian purposes or even environmental purposes?
Yeah, so we every day we're talking about the effects of fashion on the environment. We hold a lot of workshops to educate people, and Is it okay if I go into some of those facts now, just to give some context?
Yeah, 100%.
So a lot of people don't know that fashion is very straining on the environment. It takes a lot of resources in terms of water, a lot of carbon emissions, a lot of things to produce fabrics. And with fast fashion being so popular, there's a lot of pressure on clothing brands to mass produce clothing every single season for the lowest price possible, which means a lot of brands are turning to cheap fabrics that contain polyesters, plastics. There's a huge microplastic problem in our oceans. I've read stats that are terrifying, like 70% of breast milk in the US has plastic in it now, and 30% of all of those plastics are coming from clothing. Also, the dyes that are used in cheaper fabrics often contain mercury and harmful substances. There's massive amounts of water pollution. It's harmful also for our health when we wear this on our back. I could keep going. There's a lot of stats, wow. But the most scary is 150 billion clothes are being produced every single year, cheap prices, and 3/5 of those clothes go into the landfill within the first year of their life. So when we lead this culture of buy, consume, throw, we're really killing the planet and people. There's so much slave labor, child labor, atrocities happening in terms of, clothing production. So I think it's really encouraging people to have to choose something more sustainable. And with Thrift for Good, we're hoping to make circular economy, secondhand fashion more accessible. A lot of the times people, there's a bit of a stigma against secondhand, and we combat it by offering only perfect quality items. So when people come to our stores, the price is better. It's amazing, unique fashion. We have new selection every single day, and it's perfect quality. So it's really exciting to see people have access and naturally want to shift to thrift and something more sustainable and shop with us instead of going to fast fashion. So yeah, it's exciting.
Wow, I have I don't even know where to begin, because what I think you're doing is incredible. And I just wonder, do you feel like in the last 10 years the conversation on fast fashion has changed? Do you think it's easier to educate do you think the public are educated? Are we educating ourselves better, or are we just running to Forever 21 and spending our money? Or are we more conscious shoppers? Is it an age thing, do you think?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. I know thrifting is trending for the younger population, for the Gen Z, but they're also the most likely to shop Shein and order online. I think it is growing. And again, having access is the first key step. There are some great secondhand shops in the UAE, but it's a really tiny market compared to what it is elsewhere. And in the next 10 years, it's estimated that secondhand will be the leading source of fashion globally. I really hope so. I'm looking forward to that day. And just to answer your question, we were surprised there is a huge demand here for secondhand, and we're able to provide it. So yeah, we're seeing that narrative change, and people are very excited and motivated. And I just hope the more we can talk about it, the more access we can provide, the bigger it becomes.
Mm-hmm. So your shop, Thrift for Good, of course, it focuses on humanitarian.
Yeah.
It's for humanitarian. And you have done a lot of humanitarian work. Mm-hmm. So what is your idea of, of course, what's happening of the humanitarian needs that are happening right now?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things. Mm-hmm. I hope it's okay if I speak about this, but we just fundraised for Gaza for relief through the Terra Home campaign with Emirates Red Crescent.
Amazing.
Nice. We're so incredibly proud and happy to be able to give back to situations like this. And we had to move to our next projects because we, in general, make promises to help children's charity projects around the world. And for me, I think this is a really great goal, because when we help kids to get better livelihoods, better jobs, they're more likely to take care of their kids and the future generations and change communities in turn. So right now we're fundraising for kids in Uganda through the Kasoro Children's Foundation.
That's nice.
To build classrooms, to give solar panels so they don't have electricity cuts, to buy computers so the teachers have access to, technology to teach, a garden so the kids can have food. And our projects are always in the same line, trying to make charities more sustainable. They could take better care of themselves and to give kids a stronger start at life. So it's really exciting that we can help from that angle.
That is amazing. And we'll definitely have links here for Thrift for Good in every way that if you're inspired by this and you can get in touch and you can help in any way, we would love you guys watching to do that. I just want to jump back into the process and how it works. So you said that you're able to provide, I'm not sure the phrase you use, fault-free clothes or...
Yeah.
You know, so how does that work? Because I imagine here in the UAE, I imagine you get mountains of clothes.
Yeah.
So how do you sort through it and how does that work? And then if it's a zero waste process, what do you do with the clothes that you essentially can't sell on?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're currently processing about 25,000 pieces of clothes every single month. So yeah, it's a lot. And I know there's so much more in the UAE to process. And we are currently, as far as I know, the only zero waste solution for clothing in the UAE. So anyone can contribute their clothes, anything you wear or read in either of our stores. We've got two locations. You can find us on Google Maps or Thrift for Good, you'll find us. So when people bring that in, we're volunteer run. Everything we do is with volunteers, and we sort it by condition. Perfect quality, easy, it goes into the store. Not perfect quality, we do our best to fix it. We have sponsors and volunteers to stain treat, to sew, to all these things.
Wow!
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's fantastic. And I mean, sometimes it doesn't take much to save the clothes, to make them live that much longer of a life. Otherwise, we're at flea market every single weekend selling the stuff we can't repair to local communities for a great price. Or with Kiswa, we send it to India to recycle into carpet and furniture. And we also work with amazing upcyclers here in Dubai that will take, you know, that stained pair of denims and turn it into something amazing. So it's really exciting what can be done with clothing with a little creativity. After all, nothing is waste until we waste it, right?
Mm,
so yeah, we keep it away from the landfill that way.
Wow. Yeah, that is true. So at the beginning, you have mentioned that you have faced some challenges, of course, because you said nothing just passes by like that. So what is the biggest challenge that you have faced, you know, creating this amazing, I would say, business, Thrift for Good?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So I think it's always capacity. We donate 100% of our profits to help children's charity projects. And what that means is we keep our expenses as low as we possibly can because it doesn't take much to change a child's life. 1,500 dirhams is enough to sponsor a child in Tanzania for an entire year. So when we're making payments, I'm not thinking like, okay, 1,000 dirhams to do for, you know, Wi-Fi this month. I'm thinking that's a child. So with that, it's always this capacity play of how much do we want to spend, to compromise, to grow? You know, how much can we do with volunteers and finding that right balance to be able to have a massive impact? So we're always, our goal is to have sponsorship to cover our costs so we can grow that way and we can donate 100% of everything. And with that too, you can imagine being volunteer run is beautiful. We have 70 committed volunteers who make the magic happen, but the coordination of all of those people to make it happen. I don't know if that answers your question well, but capacity.
It certainly does. Like, just like guys, 25,000 pieces of clothing are coming through. You've got 70 volunteers working. All of the proceeds go to charity.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing that you're doing, Jennifer. We really appreciate your time. Where are the locations? And how can people get in touch with you to find out more if they can help?
Yeah. So our locations, we have two locations. One on the Palm Jumeirah in the Golden Mile Galleria building and one in Times Square Center, which is Sheikhzayed Road, Al Manara. Upstairs on the first floor, you can find us on Google Maps. And if anyone wants to get in touch, I mean, contact us on social media, send an email. You'll find our contact details on our website or just pop into store. That's the most fun. Really, we would love your help if you have time to volunteer. Like I said, we desperately need it. Mm-hmm. If you want to declutter your closet, come on in. Or if you want to shop sustainable fashion, where your place to go for that. So thank you.
Thrifting, love that
nice. So
much. That is all we have time for with Jennifer, and it comes to the end of our show. Guys, remember 5 p.m. is that media briefing on the weather that's coming in towards the weekend. Brawley's out, don't wash your car. That is all we have time for in the show today. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Thank you.
That's it.